All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything. We thank you for our lives, for our breath. We thank you that you are a forgiving God, that you would forgive us of all of our sins, for all of us are sinners and needful of your mercy and grace. So thank you for forgiving of us of our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Thank you, O God, for that. We pray for bringing Dylan home safely, and we ask that you would bring Danny and Harrison home safely as they will come home this next week, O God. For everyone who's not here tonight, Lord, be with them, keep them safe. And we just ask that you would do your work in our lives tonight as we look to your word, Father. As always, please let it do its work in my life and in all of our lives. Continue to perfect that work in all of us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Did anyone do their homework assignment from a couple weeks ago? Jillian, you did? You raised your hand. Long time no see. Welcome. Where's AG? Oh, tell her we missed her. So, anyone remember what the homework assignment was from a couple weeks ago? I'll give you a hint. No one probably remembers what it was.
Oh, yeah, the song.
Yes.
We had to get the song.
Yes.
I did.
You did? I did too. I got it on my. And so, what'd you think? Pretty jazzy, right?
I liked it.
It's kind of 80s. I'll give you that. Oh, come on, Katie.
I heard it.
I like this too.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Chris likes it.
That was awesome.
Sweet.
What song?
Finish What You Started by the Imperials. Featuring Russ Taff. Of course, you had to be in the 80s to know who he was, too. Okay. All right, let's read. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we'll read all the way to 10. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, or actually, what should that word be?
Slave.
What's the Greek word? Anyone remember from Camp Blast? Starts with a D. Close. Doulos. Right? Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is, right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Okay, so just since we missed last week, just to catch you up to verse 10 tonight. Of course, where is Paul?
Isn't he in prison?
He is in prison, yes. Where? Anyone know what town he is? Mikey? No. Yes, he raised his hand though. But go ahead, Emma. He's in Rome. He's in jail in Rome, okay? Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. He's writing a letter to the believers, to the saints in Philippi, right? Grace to you from our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So that's good. I'm sure it was very good for them to hear that Paul was writing to them and he's remembering them, thinking of them, even while in jail, right? Praying for them. He's confident that God will complete the work that he started in them. And this is why he knows he can write this to him, because he knows that God is perfecting him, perfecting the work in Him, and He will in us all. Praise be to God, because we would blow it. We would not be able to finish it, but God completes us. He finishes that work that He started in us. Inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense, or apologia is the word there, and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. If you don't remember, that means the affection of Jesus Christ was, how was Christ affectionate towards us? He laid down His life for us. Right? And so Paul is saying, I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. His point is that Jesus loved us dearly and was very much affectionate towards us. So that's how much He was affectionate toward the people in Philippi. In verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And right, how can we love God? How can we love each other unless we have knowledge of the Word of God? So verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So he moves from that your love may still abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, continuing right on to verse 10, because really, you know, the verses and chapters, those were all added at a later time. So there's no break here, just continuing from 9 to 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Approve is the Greek word dokemazo, and it means to try, prove, discern, distinguish, or approve. It has the notion of proving a thing whether it is worthy or not. It is to make trial of, put to the proof, examine by fire, or you can call it oven tested, or sun testing. The word used here denotes the kind of trial of which metals are exposed in order to test their true nature. Now, I mentioned the words sun testing. You might be wondering what sun testing is. In ancient times, the biggest industry in the world, anyone know what the biggest industry in the world was at that time?
Was that either Egypt or Rome?
What was the industry, though? Not where, but what?
Pottery.
Very good. Okay, pottery was the biggest industry at that time. The cheapest pottery found everywhere now at archaeology sites was thick and solid, and you didn't need a whole lot of skill to make something, and hence that's why they find all kinds of stuff that is thick and solid and not well done. The finest pottery was thin and would sometimes crack in the oven, and so dishonest dealers then would take this hard pearly wax that would blend in with the color of the pottery, and then even then they would paint it or glaze it, and so then it was hard to tell that it actually had a crack in it, okay? Unless you held it up into light, but especially the sun, you hold it up to the sun, and you could see that, hey, there's a crack in this pottery. But so the dishonest dealers were trying to get away with being thieves, really, taking advantage of the people, was saying this is a good pottery here. It's precious and well done. Look how thin it is, and it's just perfect. But until it was sun tested, held up in the light exposed if it really was a good piece of pottery. And again, you held it up to the sun, the light of the sun would expose that if it had a crack in it or not. So honest dealers marked their finer product by the caption "without wax." That's what the honest dealers would do. Or they would write on there, "their product has been sun tested." So without wax or sun tested. Okay. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. Excellent or differ is the Greek word diaphoro, meaning to bear oneself apart. Bear oneself apart, separate oneself from others, to differ. Things different. It has the meaning of distinguishing things that are different. MacArthur writes, believers need the ability to distinguish those things that are truly important so they can establish priorities. Right? And this whole comes back to verse 9, where how do you know how to love properly unless you have a knowledge of the Word of God? Well, same thing with our priorities, the things that are out there in the world. How do we know what is really important? How do we know what has spiritual value for our lives and for the people around us? Right? Unless you know things different, things that are excellent, things that set something apart, that stand out, things that distinguish themselves, that have real spiritual value in our lives. That's what that means there. So he's saying here, Paul is writing to the Philippians and to us that we need to approve, to try, to prove, to distinguish, to discern the things that are excellent, the things that differ, the things that help us spiritually and help each other, right? Albert Barnes says that the idea is that he, Paul, wished them to be able to distinguish between things that differ from each other, to have an intelligent apprehension of what is right and what is wrong, of what is good and what is evil. He would not have them love and approve all things indiscriminately. They should be esteemed according to their real value, right? All things are beneficial, but not all things are what? Profitable, right? So we have a lot of freedom in Christ, right? So we're saved, and so we're free, right? Even though we're a slave to Christ. But with that, we have a lot of freedom. All things are you know, we can do. But should we do all things? That's the point here. What has real value for my life spiritually? What's really going to be good for you and me spiritually, and what's not? They should be esteemed according to their real value. It is remarkable here how anxious the apostle was. Not only that they should be Christians, but that they should be intelligent Christians. Intelligent Christians. And should understand the real worth and value of objects. Well, how do you know the real worth of something or someone? Right? Well, approve it. Try it. Test it. Is it excellent? Is it edifying? Romans 2:18. And know His will and approve the things that are excellent. There's that word there again, approve. Approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, out of His Word, right? And that's our biggest help right there, is the Word of God. Because it sets the bar of what is right, what is wrong, what is profitable, what is not edifying. And this is why we should approve it, or I should say, why is it that we should approve? Why is it that we should try? Why is it that we should distinguish the things that are excellent? He says later in the verse, that you may be sincere. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That, the word used here, is nowhere else used in the New Testament, except in 2 Peter 3:1, where it is rendered pure. But it's similar. Sincere and pure. Almost the same thing here in the Greek. The noun, however, occurs in 1 Corinthians 5:8, 2 Corinthians, in all which places it is rendered sincerity. The word properly means that which is judged of in sunshine. Same thing to similar to approve something, but here dealing with people again, spiritually speaking, that we would be sincere, that we would be pure, that our lives would be sun tested, that all of us would be sun tested, meaning that we are sincere in our lives. And so again, that which is clear and manifest because we've been sun tested, it is that over which there are no clouds. Because the sun has shined down on us and we've been tested, right? Pure and bright. The word sincere means literally without wax. Remember, what would the dishonest dealers do with their pottery when it got cracked in the oven? They would put this pearl wax on it to try to cover the bad things. And so we can't do that. And sometimes we try and do that, don't we? Sometimes we have these faults and we try to cover them up with the wax. And I'm right there with you guys. Sometimes we try to cover up. Try to hide it. But the light always exposes. The light always exposes. And who is the ultimate light but Christ, right? And His Word. All of us are going to be exposed. There's nothing done in secret. The comforting thing in that is that if we are truly His, God disciplines the ones that who are His. He disciplines those whom He loves. And so if there's some sort of sin that you're trying to wax over and hide, and you are truly His, some sort of discipline is coming our way. And that's, in one sense, that's kind of reassuring. To knowing that if I'm in some sort of sin and I'm trying to wax it over and just try to be this person, the discipline, God loves me enough that He's going to discipline me. And that He's going to bring me past that. And that's a good thing here. But we don't want to be the dishonest dealers here. We don't want to wax over our cracks. We want to work through them. And I'm speaking about all of us, including myself, that I need to be better at that. We need to be better at that. Let's not be dishonest dealers. Let's not keep that wax handy to cover our cracks. Let's ask for help when we need it. Find someone, and that means me, right? Okay, where was I? This is applied to Christian character. It means that which is not deceitful, ambiguous, hypocritical. That which is not mingled with error, worldliness, and sin. That which does not proceed from selfish and interested motives. And where there is nothing disguised. There is no more desirable appellation that can be given to a man than to say that he is sincere. He is true. He is pure. He's been approved. Are you sincere? Are you sun tested? Can you present yourself as being wax free? Does your life show that? And I use some more stuff from Albert Barnes. He says that with that implies six things then that I thought could be helpful for us. The first one was that he is truly converted. That he has not assumed Christianity as a mask. That he's not some sort of pretender, if you remember that from Jude. He's not an apostate. We were joking about that earlier. Here come these clouds, and is this going to be an apostate night? You know, we just, the hope, and then just passes by and doesn't bring rain. We got rain though, so that was nice. But is he truly converted? Are you not just assumed Christianity? Do you just wear the Christianity mask? Second one is that his motives actually are disinterested, or are they pure? Are your motives selfish, or are they pure? Third one is that one's conduct is free from double dealing, from trickery and cunning. Fourth one, that his words express the real sentiments of his heart. Do what you say, or do they express the real sentiments of your heart? The fifth one, that he is true, that you're true to your word and faithful to your promises. Do you promise stuff that you don't come through with? And the last one, sixth one, that one is always what he professes to be. A sincere Christian would bear to have the light let in upon him always. That he wants to always be sun tested. That he wants that light coming, shining down on him so that he continually to be approved and tested and ironed out, because that's when things come clear, right? But that's when God can work on us. And so stand in His light. Be sun tested so that He can work on you and continue to chip away and mold and perfect and complete you. To have the emotions of his heart seen, to be scanned everywhere and at all times by men, by angels, but by God. But he continues on now then. He says, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Why? That you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Now, this one sounds like, wow, without offense? You mean I got to be perfect? How can I be without offense? I offend every day. I sin every single day. Sometimes you don't even know that you sin. We were learning about that last week a little bit at camp, that there's sometimes that we're not even aware that we sin, but we do. But God forgives us. And so what does this mean then, that you may be sincere and without offense? This does not mean that we are perfect, because we're not. None of us are perfect. We are sinners. We have flaws, don't we? All of us have flaws. But in our flaws, we would not cover them up with wax. We would not disguise them artificially. And by doing so, offending God, and then by also even possibly offending another Christian and causing them to have great struggles. We don't want to be a stumbling block for ourselves or for anyone else. The Greek there is aproskopos. And it comes from a, which is not, and proskopato, which means to strike at or to trip. So, to not strike at or to not trip is what he's saying here. Probably, though, in the passive sense here, not stumbling or not falling, not tripping, not striking. Figuratively speaking, in the path of duty and religion, and with unwavering steps. So we are to go forward in our calling, right? In our Christianity, eyes up here. Go forward in our calling. Go forward as true sons and daughters without striking at anyone or even at yourself, without stumbling, without tripping. In other words, don't be doing something and then covering up with the wax, which is going to cause you to stumble and have great pains later on, right? But be sincere. Press towards the upward call. Keep your eyes fixed on the light. Remember back in 1 John that we have been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we even learned about that last week, that we've been ransomed, that we've been delivered, we've been rescued from darkness into light, and the light is where we want to be. And stay in the light so that he can work on us. So it's not saying that we are perfect here. We are not perfect. Right? We do sin. We mess up all the time. But with that said, as a Christian, we're striving for that perfection. And he's going to get on that here later on. And we'll get deeper into that. But the point is that we need to be sincere and without offense. Our goal is to not offend God, right? Not offend God. We do sometimes, right? Because we mess up. We have offenses. And our goal also is to try to not offend each other. We do sometimes. Right? But try not to. So we're looking forward to that day when Christ appears and we are made perfect. When we will have no faults. When we will have no sins. When we will not offend God anymore. When we will not offend each other or be offended anymore. That's the day that we look to. That we want to come. But in the meantime, we're striving for something. We're striving for something. And so I jumped ahead to Philippians 4:8. I wanted to read this. It said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." These things are excellent, aren't they? That's the point of verse 10 here. He says, "that you may approve the things that are excellent." Well, here's some things that are excellent. The things that are true, things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. Meditate on these things. Where do we find these things? In the Word of God and in the light. And so I want us to read this just one more time, back to verse 10. And let it sink in here for all of us that you... And so here's Paul writing this letter to the saints at Philippi, and they're reading this letter, and here we are. We have this letter here before us, and so we are reading it too. And Paul is writing then that you... And so put your name there. And I'll put my name there. You approve the things that are excellent. Test them. Try them. Distinguish them. See the things that have real spiritual value. The things that really can build you up spiritually. The things that don't, put them off. We don't want them around if they're going to just cause us to stumble, cause us to trip. But the things that are truly excellent, keep around you, because they've been tried and tested, and they edify and build you up spiritually. So you, your name in place there, you approve the things that are excellent. Are you doing that? Are we testing? Are we sun test? Are we oven testing the things that are excellent? And then furthermore, are we sincere then? Are we tested? Do we continuously stand under the light and expose ourselves to the truth to see where we need to be trimmed out a little bit and hatch chipped away and shaped a little bit? Right? Because we don't want to put any wax. We don't want to be dishonest and cover up our faults with wax and try to hide them. We want to let everything out there in front of the light and in front of a God, and then let Him take us and work on us, because He will. And so I challenge all of us, including myself, that we daily would be sun tested. That I can stand before God and say, "I come without wax." That before you, God, that I didn't try to hide anything. I didn't try to cover up anything. Because can we really? And sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we think that we can really hide something from God. I mean, that's pretty dumb, right? Because we can't hide anything from God. We might be able to fool each other. We might be able to hide something from your parents, right? But we don't hide anything from God. And so then it's just foolish for us to try to wax things over. Because He knows where our faults are. He knows where our sins are. He wants you to say, "God, here am I. I'm before Your light. Work on me. Please, please, oh God, work on my sin. Work on my faults. Sun test me thoroughly. Cleanse me, O God. And I want to be presented blameless before you. And we shouldn't want to hide anything from each other also. We don't want to be people with masks before each other. And so we can fix that by being sun tested. And so again, I challenge all of us, every single person in this room, that daily we would stand before our good God, right? Before Christ who is light, and cry out to Him and ask Him, merciful King, test me daily, today. Test me again thoroughly. Look within me deep and convict me of any sin that I have. And wherever that I am failing. Wherever I am sinning bad. Wherever I am waxing things over. Convict me of that. And work on me. And so when we read this then, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Why do you want to approve the things that are excellent? So that you may be sincere. That you're true, that you're real, that you're pure and without offense till the day of Christ. That you're doing all you can not to offend God and not to offend each other. Granted, again, it's going to happen. But your mindset, your goal is to not offend God and to try not to offend each other till the day of Christ when we don't have to worry about that anymore. Because I don't know about you guys, but I grow weary of myself. I grow weary of the offenses that I cause. I grow weary that when I'm offended, I grow weary of blowing it. And so I look at that. And studying last night made me realize that I need to be sun tested more. That I need to just say, God, I'm here. Please work on me. And help me to be sincere before you. Help me to be sincere before people. Because I'm looking forward to that day when, God, I don't sin against you. And that I don't offend my brother. Right? Shouldn't that be our goal? And so let's work on that. Let's all daily be sun tested. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you again. Thank you for just this one verse here. Because even the littlest verses do mighty work in our life. And so I pray, Lord, that this one verse would work in my life and everyone else's lives here tonight. That it would cause us to approve things and really find out what has true spiritual value. And the things that don't have spiritual value, let me put off because they're not beneficial for me. They just bring me down. They cause me to trip and stumble and bang my knee and cause me to do things that I don't want to do. And so let me really approve the things that are excellent, that can really build me up and edify me so that I might be sincere, pure, true, real, and without offense, that in my sincerity as a child of God, that I would want to please you, and that I would want to be without offense, and not wanting to offend you or any of my brothers or sisters, and even the non-Christians, that I might stand as someone who is sincere, that they would see me, that unbelievers would see all of us, that they would see that we are real, We don't just come with talk. We don't just wear the Christian mask, but we are Christians. And they would see how we talk. They would see how we act. And they would see that we are sincere. And that we are striving to be without offense before God and before everyone until the day of Christ. So I pray, God, that all of us would just stand before You, really kneel, be on our faces before You and asking God, please let me be sun tested. You are the light, and let that light just thoroughly test me and work on me, O God. Challenge us, O God, and convict us to do this daily, I pray. In Your Son's precious name, amen.